Community Church. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. When the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord.
I was going to tell you if you could be seated, but you got the picture. Thank you. It is so good to see you guys today. And again, if you're in the family room, thank you for being there and worshiping with us. I want to say a special word of thanks and welcome. We have children all throughout this room in here. Welcome, children. It is good to see you. And, you know, I said this in the previous service, and I want to encourage you. There are some cards in front of you. Maybe you got a piece of paper as you came in. I would love, if you're a child in here or a child at heart, I'd love to see maybe a picture of a star, a stable, something maybe that you hear the Lord speaking to you about. I got all kinds of drawings in the first service. I would love to see those. I'll be out at the pastor's area and would love to be able to see that and be able to hear that. So thank you so much for being in here, kids. And if you hear a little noise, that's all right. That's the sound of life, all right? This is family today. I do want to say, as I kind of reiterated at the beginning, or I'm going to reiterate it now, I don't want today just to be some really, hey, I know these songs. We're going to sing them. We're coming. We're going to have communion. We're going to light a candle. We're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to check that box, and we're going to head off. No. This is, I don't know if you were listening to the words you were singing today. We're singing about the birth of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And so today, the reason we're here is to remember him, to know that, man, he came onto the scene, and because he's on the scene, he came on the scene, we have eternal life because of what he did. You know, some of you are old enough, you'll remember this, or maybe you have read about it in the history books. I believe it was May 18 in 1980, the United States experienced the largest volcano eruption in Mount St. Helens, Washington. It was immense. In fact, volcanologists tell us, now those are not people who study Mr. Spock, all right? Those are the ones who study the volcanoes. They say that it was so powerful that it exceeded, I want you to get this, it exceeded the force of all the bombs dropped in World War II. That's how powerful it was. In a period of about 5 seconds, when the explosion happened, the Mount St. Helens lost 1,300 feet in elevation. It was so powerful and so fast. The debris, the ash, the rock was leaving with such force. It was measured at over 300 miles an hour in the force and the velocity. And everything within a five-mile radius was destroyed. In fact, the USGS tells us that we lost, I don't remember how many in my study, how many different lakes were lost around in that area. But through the force of that volcano, there were 120 new ones that were created. I mean, it was impeccable, unbelievable what happened. But I want to tell you that there was something that happened in Bethlehem that was a greater explosion than even what happened in Mount St. Helens. You see, on the night that Jesus was born, the scripture tells us that heaven erupted and it overflowed into a manger, into a stall. We talked about the manger that he was in, that he was born in, that it was not even fit for his crib. That's what we just sang about just a few minutes ago. But I want to tell you that is exactly where God had planned for his son to be born. We miss this. Because what ends up happening so often is that we wake up on a day like today, maybe even tomorrow, but usually on the Christmas Eve as we go gather, we put on our Christmas clothes, our Christmas shoes, and we end up heading off to a service, and we love to sing these songs. But again, if we're not careful, it's just kind of checking the box. And today, what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to miss. Amy read just a few moments ago about on the night that it was announced to the shepherds that in the darkness of that night, the sky erupted. And there were angels and the glory of God shone all around. Singing glory to God in the highest. This, what we're doing today, is not just, hey, this is a family gathering. It's going to be cool. We're going to light candles. No, this is a time that we worship the living God. And we have a unique opportunity, I think, just to be real honest with you, because we have a unique vantage point. It's already happened. We get, because by the grace of God, he's given us his written word, we have the ability to look back and know that that night was filled with great anticipation. In fact, it was written about, it was prophesied that this was going to happen. And we often sing, we're going to sing at the end of this service, and I love singing Silent Night, but I don't think it was really that silent, to be real honest with you. I don't really believe that it was. I believe that the city of Bethlehem was bustling. I mean, there were people everywhere. We know that because the Bible tells us there wasn't even a place for them to go to the inn. They found a stall, a stable. And here you have a little teenage girl all alone with her husband in an animal stall. Can you imagine, ladies? Men, I'm freaking out right now just thinking about it. What am I going to do? And I don't think it was quiet. Listen, there's people in the streets moving about. There's commerce that's going on. There's food that's happening. People are laughing. They're joyful. But in that stall, you hear cattle lowing. Remember us singing? Sheep are probably bleating. There's smells. Can you imagine? Have you ever been in a stable? There's smells. And this is where the Lord Jesus came in. And some of us, if we're not careful today, we can think, oh, how unfortunate. It was just an overcrowded place. No. This is where God planned for his son to invade. We've been, over the last several weeks, we've been in a series. If you're new here, if this is your first time here and you live in the area, I want to extend a welcome to you. I'm going to say thank you. Please come back. We would love to see you at another point. Please come. Over the past 3 weeks, this is week four, we've been in a series called Behold, and we've been talking about what it means to behold Christ, to behold Christ. We talked about beholding his joy, beholding Jesus as peace. Today, we lit the love candle, that Jesus is love. In just a few moments, I'm going to go back over here, and we're going to light the Christ candle. And today, there are three really quick things that we're going to see as we walk through this. One is that we're going to behold Christ. We're going to behold Christ as Lord. I want us also to behold Christ as the Lamb. And I want us to behold Christ as the light. Let's talk about Christ as the Lord. In John chapter 1, we meet John the Baptist. How do we meet John the Baptist? Well, he's talked about that he was one that had been prophesied. He was going to be a baby. He was born 6 months prior to Jesus. He was Jesus's cousin. Matthew tells us that he came preaching the kingdom of God. Isaiah prophesied about this one who was going to come, and his name would be John the Baptist, and that he would be one who would come from the wilderness, and he would be there to make way, make straight the way of the Lord. This was John the Baptist's entire mission, to make a desert in the highway for God. This is what he was called to do. John's life, John the Baptist, was all about announcing and reminding people about the birth of Jesus. Now, listen, he wasn't there. I mean, he was a baby, so he wasn't there, but he had heard the stories. His mom and dad, Elizabeth and Zechariah, had told him about Jesus and the prophecies of Jesus. Yet here they grow, and he grows up with Jesus. They are cousins, and they do cousin things. Yet the Bible tells us that there was a day and time when John went into the wilderness to fulfill the prophecy that was given about him. One who would be in the wilderness calling out, make straight the path of the Lord, the one who is to come. Make straight the path, the one who is to come. I think John knew all about, because John knew the scripture. He would have one who had been trained up as a boy going to the rabbinic schools. He would have been one who would have known the prophecy of Isaiah, that there was going to be one, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He would have known that very scripture. Let me ask you a question today. When you think back, because here's why I think John is doing what he's doing. He knows, one, this is ordained that I do this. But two, he would know that most people, when the Messiah would come and it would be revealed, they would want to keep him in a swaddling cloth in a manger somewhere as a little baby. Let me ask you this. When you think about Jesus today, do you think of him as a baby, or do you think about a reigning king? One who sacrificed his life. He is the Lord God. And John announces this. John announces it. Here's John on the banks of the Jordan River. He's on the banks of the Jordan River. He's doing what John did. He came out. He preached repentance. He was preparing the way of the Lord. And up comes Jesus. And you know what John said at that moment when he saw Jesus? He knew, this is my cousin, but I believe the Holy Spirit of God revealed to him in that moment, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, John wanted us to remember. He called out. Hey, folks, if you're around me right now, he's telling all the crowds that are there, behold, wake up, listen. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Messiah has come. You see, that's who we're worshiping today. That's who we're here celebrating today. Not just a baby who was born, but a baby who was born to die. So today, as we sing, as we take communion, as we gather together, remembering, we are remembering and we're beholding Jesus the Lord. We're also, though, remembering that he is the Lamb. We're beholding Jesus as the Lamb of God. You see, this is the exact reason that we celebrate. If we're not careful, what can end up happening is that we can think about often about the baby. And it can terminate on the baby. And what we forget is there were probably babies born all around Bethlehem, all around Judea, all around Galilee that night. But there was only one baby that was born to die. One baby that was born to die. And we're here today to remember that one. The one who would die so that you and I, those of us who have bowed our knees, those of us who have surrendered our lives, those of us who have submitted our life to Jesus Christ, so that you and I might have life. That you and I might have life. You know, I truly believe that Jesus, as he came to that bank, John, knowing the reason that the Messiah was going to come, the one who would lay down his life, the one who would sacrifice his life. Do you remember the story of the Israelites being in captivity in Egypt? Remember that story in Exodus? Well, on the last night that they were there, they had been commanded that they were to take a spotless one-year-old lamb. A one-year-old lamb, and that they were to sacrifice it. They were going to kill it. They were going to roast it. And then they were going to take the blood, and they were going to put the blood, those Israelites captives, and they were going to put it over the doorpost of their house. God told Moses, and Moses told them, this is what you're to do, because tonight the death angel, my judgment, is going to come to this country, and you're going to be released. And everyone who does not have the blood of the one-year-old lamb on your doorpost will die. But all those who do will be passed over. My judgment will not fall on them. My judgment will not fall. Well, that night, Egypt, the firstborn child, the firstborn animal, everything firstborn died that did not have the blood of the lamb over their doorpost. But all of Israel left that night. They ended up at a mountain in Sinai right around 30 days later. They end up there. And on that mountain, Moses received the Ten Commandments. And he also received the law from God. And God told Moses, listen, because I am perfect, because I am righteous, because I am holy, no one can come before me unless there's been a sacrifice. There's been a sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice. Listen, in this room right here, I want to make sure that you realize that when we were born, and I want to be really clear, kids, listen, do you realize that when everyone that was ever born was born on the naughty list? All of us. All of us were born on the naughty list. All of us were born as sinners. Everyone. Why? Because our very first father, Adam and Eve, they sinned. Did you realize that mom and dad, in case you don't know it, you also sin? Kids, what does that look like? Well, it may be that you peek under the tree and you kind of peel back the paper a little bit. Me did it. I know that. Okay, I've done that. Mom gets upset because maybe the ham got burnt. Dad's upset because traffic around Christmas is crazy. You start saying things you don't need to be saying. But because God is righteous and holy, he demands a penalty, a payment for sin. And you know what I think happened on that bank in Jordan? I think when John saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, I think what he probably saw, what may have been going through his mind, is all the previous sacrifices, and that this one was the perfect sacrifice. All the other sacrifices pointed to Jesus as the perfect righteous sacrifice. There would be no more sacrifices because of his perfect life. And now today, because we, those of us in here who have surrendered and submitted our lives to Jesus Christ, we have the blood of Christ over our lives. But I want to say in here today, there may be some of you who've never surrendered your life to Jesus. And I want to tell you that today, the Holy Spirit offers you the free gift. You know, some of you right now, you're thinking about all the different things you still need to go do. Some of you are thinking, man, if this guy will get quiet, I can get the ham on and I won't get burnt. Some of you are thinking, man, about as soon as we're done, go to the car, kids. We are headed to grandma's. Gotta go. Some of you are thinking about, I got to get to Walgreens because I still got a few things I need to purchase. I mean, you're thinking about all kinds of things. But right now, I want to tell you, we need to slow down for a moment and remember the gift that he's offering you, the gift of eternal life, that can only be found in the sinless Son of God, the sinless Son of God, the one who was the Lamb of God, the one who laid his life down. Today, during this time, we're going to observe communion. I'm going to ask our deacons, would you mind coming, those of you who are serving communion today? I would ask that you come and that you begin to pass out the elements. That's going to happen also in our family room. Communion, the Lord's Supper, is a time where we remember the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, the one who laid his life down, who was slain for the sins of those who might surrender their lives to him. The Bible tells us, in fact, I want to read this passage. It's in the book of Mark. This happened on the night before he was crucified. It says, as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them. And he said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it, and he said to them, this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many. In this room right now, in the family room, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask, would you mind just letting the elements go by? Or if you've already taken it, would you just hold on to it? Because the Lord's Supper, communion, is a memorial meal for those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Parents in the room, we have kids in the room. If your child has never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you hold them back. Because, as Paul told the Corinthian church in chapter 11, he said, many of you eat and drink condemnation on you because you take it in a manner that is unworthy. You see, the only people who take communion are those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. And so today, I'm going to ask that we take just a moment, just a brief moment here. And I'm going to ask if you would you bow your head, close your eyes? And the reason I'm not going to have an invitation, I want you not being able to be worried about who's around you. And I'm going to ask if there's anything that is standing between your fellowship, not your position. You are in Christ. But maybe there's something that has hindered your fellowship with him. I want to ask that you take a moment and you ask the Lord, I'm going to agree with you. Lord, remove this from me. If you will, take and turn over on that small end. Peel that foil back. Mark tells us that Jesus took the bread that symbolized his body, and he broke it, symbolizing his body broken for you and me, for those of us who would surrender our lives to him, who would come under the blood of the Lamb. He says, this is broken for you. Paul says, as often as you do it in remembrance. Jesus, will you take and eat now? Jesus, I thank you for laying your life down. I thank you for your body being broken. I thank you that it's by your stripes we It says in the same way, he took the cup. If you'll peel the foil off the other end of that. He said he took the cup and he passed it around and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant. It's found only in his blood. You know, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And so today, we thank God for his son Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who laid his life down and his blood was drained so that we might have forgiveness. Would you take and drink now? Jesus, I thank you for the blood that brings power, that brings forgiveness, that brings freedom. And I ask right now, I ask now that if there are those in here who don't know you as Savior, that today they might surrender their life, that they might submit to you and receive the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Not only are we beholding the Lord and we're beholding the Lamb, but we're also today going to behold the light. I want to light the Christ candle. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 7 say this: in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. I do hope your home is merry and bright this season. But I also want to tell you that we do live in a dark time. But you are the light of the world. Not because of anything you've done, but because of Christ who lives in you. Those of you who have surrendered your life to Christ. And wherever you go, you realize you take the light of Christ there. There are days when you may be thinking, oh my goodness, is what I do make a difference? Yes, it does. Do you realize that a little light in a very dark place stands out greatly? It only takes a little light to light a dark room. But we light a candle and we put it up. We don't cover it up with a bushel, a basket. We hold up the light of Christ so that people may see our good deeds and glorify our Father who is in heaven, not us. This shouldn't terminate on us. The light of Christ who lives within us is for our family, for our friends, for our neighborhood, for our schools. Today, I want to ask our deacons who served communion and our staff, if you're in this room, would you come forward? What we're about to do is they're going to come and light their candle off of mine, and then they're going to, in fact, why don't you go ahead and stand up? Go and stand, and then they're going to come and they're going to light your candle, symbolizing how the light of the world takes over this place. So today, when your candle is lit, will you hold it high?